Wu Men Quan, case number 3. Ju Zhe raises a finger. The case reads, whenever he was asked about Zen, Master Ju Zhe simply stuck up one finger. One day, a visitor asked Ju Zhe's young attendant what his master preached. The boy raised a finger. Hearing of this, Ju Zhe cut off the boy's finger with a knife. As the boy ran from the room, screaming with pain, Ju Zhe called to him. When he turned his head, Ju Zhe stuck up one finger. The boy was suddenly enlightened. When Ju Zhe was about to die, he said to his assembled monks, I received this one finger Zen from Tianlong. I used it all my life, but could not exhaust it. With this, he entered into his eternal rest. Wu Men's commentary. The enlightenment of Ju Zhe and the boy has nothing to do with a finger. If you can realize this, then Tianlong, Ju Zhe, the boy, and yourself are all run through with a single skewer. Wu Men's verse. Tianlong made a fool of Ju Zhe, who cut the boy with a sharp knife. Just as the mountain deity raised his hand, and lo, without effort, the myriad piled mountain was split into two. We don't know a lot about Ju Zhe, whose Japanese name is Gute. He was a 9th century monk, which makes him a younger contemporary of Lin Ji, Rinzai. Tianlong, another relatively unknown master, was a grandson in the Dharma of Lin Ji. Whenever he was asked about Zen, Master Ju Zhe simply stuck up one finger. What is Buddha? Ju Zhe raises a finger. What is the meaning of the ancestors coming from the West? He raises a finger. Who are you? He raises a finger. Ju Zhe's backstory is important here. As a young monk, he decided to go and live in the mountains and pursue his enlightenment as a hermit. Now, hermetic practice is a valid and important thing to do for a while, but it is not usually taken up until one is a seasoned practitioner of many years. But I suspect most of us have, at an early stage of our practice, dreamt of going off somewhere into the mountains or the desert and living and sitting in solitary splendor, thereby gaining something we call enlightenment. But this is a false dream. It is the practice of the arhat, the individually enlightened one. It is not the bodhisattva's practice that leads to Buddhahood. And if one is not sufficiently experienced, solitary practice can simply be a way of trying to escape one's problem. Disappointment in love, not getting the promotion, or whatever. Philip Kaplow Roshi told a story once of a young man from the Rochester Zen Center who tried this. He took a small cabin in the desert and loaded up on supplies and began a solitary retreat that was to last a month. But after a few days, he realized that he hadn't brought enough food. So he drove into the nearest town to pick up some supplies. Well, while he was there, he bought a newspaper. And he read it. No, he didn't read it. He devoured it. He read every single story, word by word, every editorial, even every classified ad. Well, to his credit, he realized then that he was not yet ready for such a practice, and he returned to Rochester. So, Juju withdraws from the world. He does intense zazen for we don't know how long. But then something happens. The world comes to him. A nun, whose name is said to be Shirji, which has been rendered as true world, arrives at his door. She enters without so much as a by your leave, walks around him three times and stands before him and says, if you can say an appropriate word, I will take off my hat. Oh dear. Give me a word. What is it about that demand that causes paralysis? Give me a word and I will take off my hat. Give me a word or I will kill the cat. Speak, speak! You cannot use words. You cannot use no words. What will you do? Well, Juju is paralyzed. He cannot answer. So the nun leaves. At that point, Juju rouses himself and calls after her. It will be dark soon. Why don't you stay the night? The nun replies, if you can say an appropriate word, I will stay. Once again, Juju is dumbstruck. So the nun turns her back on him and goes on her way. Juju is utterly discouraged. Here's another young man who realizes that he is not ready for hermetic practice. So Juju decides to go back to civilization. He packs his belongings and sits down to wait for sunrise. But as often happens in stories like this, a local deity appears to him and says, wait, a great Zen master will come along soon, and you can ask him about the matter. And sure enough, in a few days, Tianlong arrives. Juju tells the master the whole story, and Tianlong raises one finger. Juju is suddenly enlightened. Now we have to remember that Juju had been doing intense zazen for some time, and he has just had a traumatic dharma encounter. So there he is, right on the edge. Tianlong saw his condition and just raised a finger. And ever after, that was Juju's practice and his enlightenment. Whenever he was asked about Zen, Master Juju simply stuck up one finger. He stuck up one finger. Is this an attachment? Is he just doing the same thing over and over again? If that's the case, there's no koan here. When we breathe mu, or count the breaths, or follow the breath, are we doing the same thing over and over? Is that even possible? Here's a story by the Sufi teacher Idris Shah. Mir Abu Tahir, attracted many students through his illuminating discourses and by circulating epistles, which were favorably commented upon by all the major thinkers of the day. When, however, people collected to hear him speak in person, they could only get him to repeat a single phrase: "The desire for the merit, not for the man." This admonition was given out several times a day for 5 years. Someone went to the sage Ibriki and begged him to help with some sort of explanation of the strange conduct of Abu Tahir. Ibriki said, "You complain because the mirror says something regularly, but you do not complain that the sun rises and sets every single day. Yet the two things are the same. Like the sun, the mirror is doing something valuable. If you make no use of it, he must still continue to shine for the benefit of those who can profit, or of you at a time when you can benefit." The book from which this story is taken is entitled "The Wisdom of the Idiots." Yes, only an idiot would do this day after day. Only one who has no thought of, "Oh, this again," or "that old thing." Only one for whom each time is the first time and the last time. Never seen before, never to be seen again. Juju raises his finger in this present moment, and in doing so, he brings us all into this present moment. This moment is all moments, and all beings are present in this moment, and thus they are liberated. But is a finger really necessary? Where is Juche's finger right now? And if you respond by raising a finger, you are only a wild fox imitating your betters. And what about the kid? One day, a visitor asked Juche's young attendant what his master preached. The boy raised a finger. The boy raises a finger, just as he has seen the master raise a finger. There's that wild fox again. But if the boy's finger is not the same as Juju's finger, how is it different? When Zhao Zhou visited two hermits in case number 11 of the Wu Men Guan and asks each one, "Are you in?" Both raise their fists the same way. Zhao Zhou praises one of them and puts the other one down. How so? And again, in case 26 in the Wu Men Guan, two monks roll up the blinds in exactly the same way. Fa Yin says, "One has it, one doesn't." Are there differences? And how can we tell? Juju could tell, and he does something about it. Hearing of this, Juju cut off the boy's finger with a knife. As the boy ran from the room screaming with pain, Juju called after him. When he turned his head, Juju stuck up one finger. The boy was suddenly enlightened. Juju cut off the boy's finger. Wei Ko, the second patriarch, cut off his own arm. Nan Chuan cut a cat in two. How is it that they can take such drastic measures? Are they justified? If there is the slightest separation between Juju and the boy, between Nan Chuan and the cat, It is the distance between heaven and earth, in which case they have done something unforgivable. What is it to cut off a finger? What is it to cut off an arm, a tree, a beard, an eyebrow, a cap? What is it to cut off the very self that sits here? What is it to cut off even our practice, our zazen? And when it is all cut off, what is left? What is left to Zhujie? What is left to the boy? In exchange for genuine, full realization, what price are you willing to pay? A finger? An arm? That's chump change. You have to go way beyond the finger. How? Wow. Just the breath. Just the sitting. Wu Men's commentary. The enlightenment of Zhujie and the boy has nothing to do with the finger. If you can realize this, then Tianlong, Zhujie, the boy, and yourself are all run through with a single skewer. Where is enlightenment? In a finger? A beard? An eyebrow? Suddenly the boy has no finger. If he has no finger, did he ever have one? Did Bodhidharma ever have a beard? Did Ryu Yin ever have eyebrows? From the very beginning, there has never been a single thing. Not a finger, not even a cap. So where is this stuff we call enlightenment? Zhujie raises a finger and suddenly this young lad comes to enlightenment. What will you do? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to cut off? What views about fingers, cats, trees, cars, children are you willing to cut off? And if you cut it all off, what's left? Wu Men's verse. Tianlong made a fool of Zhujie, who cut the boy with a sharp knife. Just as the mountain deity raised his hand, and lo, without effort, the myriad piled mountain was split into two. Yes, Zhujie is a great fool indeed. He spent days, weeks, maybe months, in his little mountain hut trying to get enlightenment. And then along comes Tianlong and gives it to him. In a finger? Please. And ever after, Zhujie raised a finger that is at once a finger and no finger, everything and nothing. Now, who is the fool? Several lifetimes ago, it seems like, I was into a competitive fencing. Now, there are three weapons in fencing: the foil, the épée, and the saber. Of these, the épée is the most realistic. It's rather like a rapier. And there is no restricted target. You can hit your opponent anywhere. So rather than attacking to the body, you might try to plink your opponent on the hand or the wrist right behind the bell guard. So So it requires a high degree of skill with the point of your weapon. So once there's an épée tournament, and a young fencer is really struggling, he sees another much more experienced fencer who is doing really well. So he goes up to him and says, "Wow, your point control is really something. How do you do it?" The older fencer looks at him and says, "Where do you live?" Kid says, "Oh, I'm in this old apartment on such and such a street." "Do you have those old-fashioned light switches with the separate on and off buttons?" "Yeah, as a matter of fact, I do." "Well, here's what you do. Get on guard in front of the switch and just practice hitting the on and off buttons alternately." "Gee, thanks, I'll do that." So the kid goes home, gets on guard, and goes for it. Well, at first he beats up on the wall and the switch plate pretty badly. But he persists until he gets very consistent. On, off, on, off. So, another épée tournament. The kid is doing much better. The older fencer comes by and says, "Hey, your point control's really improved. What have you been doing?" The kid says, "I've just been doing what you told me with a light switch. You know, on, off." The older fencer's jaw drops. "I was kidding! Who is the fool? Was Qianlong kidding?" Just as the mountain deity raised his hand, and lo, without effort, the myriad-piled mountain was split into two. According to Chinese legend, Zhongling, the deity of Flower Mountain, divided the mountain into two by a mere touch of his hand, thereby allowing the waters of the Yellow River to flow through for the benefit of inland villages. What kind of effort does a mountain make? What kind of effort does an earthquake make? What kind of effort does the breeze make, or the sun, or a moment of realization? What kind of effort did Zhu Jie exert? It was only when he stopped exerting in his little hut that he was able to see clearly. To see Tianlong's finger, his own finger, clearly. And yet effort is necessary. But it is not the effort towards something or away from something. Not an effort to gain or lose something. It's just the effort it takes to cross our legs, to sit, and to make nothing. And that's a considerable effort for most of us. This session has generated an extraordinary amount of energy in a very short time. So continue. Use that energy. Let it work for you. Stay with the practice. Just continue with this effort that is no effort at all. Together with all beings, we realize the way.